This week's bits. The best news nuggets from Breakfast and The Wire from this week.
Atamariya, Kohana Ross Toku Ingoa, and welcome to the best bits of BFM Current Affairs this week. This week, Nikki Haga released a new book, Hit and Run, co-authored with John Stevenson. The book have alleged 21 civilians were killed or injured during a revenge raid in Afghanistan by the SAS following the death of a Kiwi soldier. It alleges that, supported by US and Afghan forces, the SAS burned and blew up about a dozen houses and failed to help the wounded. It also alleges former Prime Minister John Key signed off on the raid. The Defence Force have since stood by their statement they made in 2011 and have said the SAS did not commit any war crimes during a raid in Afghanistan. The book is calling for an inquiry into the allegations. Nikki Haga spoke to 95BFM News Director Shemena Smith about his new book.
This was a strange time for New Zealand. New Zealand had been getting on very well in Afghanistan. Compared to most countries, we'd had troops there, no one had died. We'd been in a relatively peaceful area. And then the first New Zealander died when the roadside bomb went off. And the job was given to the SAS of tracking down the people who were responsible for it, the SAS who were based in another part of Afghanistan in those years. What happens is that there was a mood, according to the people, to the SAS people and the people we talked to around them, there was a mood of rage and indignation that a New Zealander had got hurt. And they tracked down a group of insurgents who they believed were responsible, and they unwisely jumped to the conclusion that those people were based in these two little isolated villages in the middle of the mountains there, where alas they were not actually located, because insurgents in Afghanistan for decades have followed a procedure of hiding in the mountains after an attack because they don't want reprisals. And so our SAS got asked for support from US helicopter gunships, ships and drones, and loaded piles of their own SAS commandos into helicopters and headed off these two small Afghan villages and did this ghastly attack where there were no insurgents there at all. There were children running frightened and their parents and old people, and it was just a terrible tragedy that what turned out, which could have been a mistake, but it was fueled, and you could just say it was a mistake, except first of all, it was fueled by this anger and they went around blowing up and burning down houses as well. But secondly, they never admitted they'd done anything wrong. They gave no help to the wounded. They never went back to give any help to the people afterwards even, and they've tried to cover the whole thing up.
And so how do we know it was New Zealand forces that actually killed and injured these people?
What we know is that quite a lot of the deaths were caused by bringing in these helicopter gunships, which are like intergalactic, incredibly powerful murdering machines, and using them in an urban area where there were people and children and people running between houses and things. So it was the New Zealanders led the raid. They commanded the whole thing. They were in charge and responsible for what happened, and they used helicopter gunships in there, which was inevitably, unfortunately, going to end up with civilian casualties. On top of that, we've looked at it as closely as we can. We know each person who died and where they died and things. And there were two people who died who didn't have helicopter weapons. They had bullets, which had small holes going in and big holes coming out, just to name the horrible facts of it. And it seems quite possible that they were SAS snipers. So then if New Zealanders were involved because they organized it and asked for and took these helicopter gunships into those villages, and they also may have been directly involved through the SAS snipers, and also they were, as I said, they were blowing up and burning down houses as they went.
And so in terms of who to hold accountable for this, is it purely just the SAS, or does it go further up the chain than that?
The part of it that we're really, accountability is always hard to judge exactly, because you don't know exactly what people knew. The first round is the SAS are undoubtedly most culpable for this. And I think a lot of the cover-up and the secrecy has come from them as well. So primarily it's the SAS. But actually, the SAS were very careful. Well, before they did this raid, they knew it was big and they knew it was risky. And so the night before the raid, they briefed the Defence Minister and the Chief of Defence Force, who were in Kabul. And we've had exact details from people who were at the meeting of what went on there when they briefed them. And even then, the Chief of Defence Force and the Minister of Defence felt that maybe this was too risky, and they didn't want it to be on their hands either because of what was going on. So they stepped outside their room, and there, outside the operations centre of the SAS, they rang through to John Key and briefed him on what was happening, and he made the decision. So the ultimate decision to do this went right up to John Key, and he gave him the go-ahead to go ahead with it. So there's a number of different levels of accountability and responsibility.
And that was Nikki Hager with Shemina Smith. Labour leader Andrew Little then spoke about the allegations and if there should be an inquiry into the issue.
The book details an NZSAS raid gone wrong in Afghanistan in 2010, as well as the consequent cover-up. Do you support an investigation into these allegations?
Yes, because part of the story is that after the raid happened, the New Zealand Defence Force, their account of it said that there were no civilian casualties. And even though there was another report afterwards after a complaint that said there were no civilian casualties, it's pretty clear that there were. And I think we need to know what happened, who was in command, and how decisions were made, and why it is that New Zealand troops appear to have been involved in an event that led to such a number of civilian casualties, both fatalities and injuries.
Mm-hmm. What about the notion of a cover-up? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I mean, it does look like you look at those early releases and some of the messages coming out of the Defence Force. First it was, there are no civilian casualties. Then it was, well, if there are civilian casualties, they're not the responsibility of New Zealand troops. So there was a bit of a shifting story. I'm reluctant to go as far as saying there's been a cover-up, because who knows who provided what information to whom at what time, sort of thing. I think the book makes it clear, and it raises serious allegations and indicates a pretty solid evidential basis for it, which is why I think that for the sake of the reputation of the SAS, of the New Zealand Defence Forces generally, and for New Zealand, because we send deployments overseas, that we do need to know what the truth is, and the government should order an inquiry.
Mm-hmm. And former Defence Minister Wayne Mapp has conceded that some civilians died in the attacks, which is a shift from his position in 2011, where he insisted no civilians died. What do you make of this shift in the position?
Yeah, I mean, he was actually quoted in the book saying that he thought the whole exercise was a disaster and was a fiasco. So he obviously knew enough a few years ago when he first made those comments. Now he's repeated them. I think that makes the case for an independent inquiry even more compelling. Mm-hmm. Clearly some people know something about that exercise, that raid, that has gone horribly wrong and led to civilian casualties. Because, of course, it's not just the fact there were casualties, it was the failure to follow up and provide care and assistance to the injured people, which is, even in wartime, is a responsibility of soldiers.
Right. And Mapp also said that the actions carried out during the raid could not be considered war crimes. Do you agree with this?
Well, I don't think it's for him to say, and I don't think it's for anybody to say until we actually establish what the actual facts are. You know, these events were done at a time of high tension, of a sort of a combat environment, if you like, and weeks after the soldiers involved, the New Zealand soldiers involved, had lost a comrade to a roadside bomb. So, emotions no doubt were running high, and no one can kind of put themselves easily in the position they might have been in. What we do know is that there were civilian casualties, there are serious allegations about alleged failings on the part of our troops, and I think for all our sake and the sake of the reputation of New Zealand and its defence forces, we need to get to the bottom of it, and only an independent inquiry can do that.
And that was Andrew Little with Jogai Bat. National Party's Jamie Lee Ross also spoke to us about the issue and actually was the first known National Party MP to actually confirm that there were civilian casualties.
So we've heard from ex-Defence Minister Wayne Mapp this week, who's conceded that civilians may have died in the raid attack. What do you make of this U-turn from his previous position in 2011 when he said no civilians were killed?
He's also indicated quite strongly in his comments that this was a difficult situation. They're operating in a war zone. They're operating with the best information they had at the time. And he also stands by the investigation, which found that the New Zealand Defence Force did not act inappropriately.
I can't comment on what he might have said at the time or what information he was acting on. He made those comments, but I have seen his comments recently where he's heavily and strongly indicated that he supports the New Zealand Defence Force, and he supports the fact that they were doing what was appropriate at the time, and that has been found after an investigation to be the right thing. It's unfortunate when any civilians end up as casualties, and I think our Defence Force are highly trained to ensure as far as possible there are never any civilian casualties. We go into these situations to try and do good, to help a country, in this case Afghanistan, try and help the Afghani people to recover after some devastating series of events over a number of years. We went there to try and assist. We went there to try and help them rebuild. And the SAS were there to protect our provincial reconstruction team, which were there to help and assist with reconstruction in Afghanistan. We went there to help people. We went there to do humanitarian work. We didn't go there to try and target civilians. It is a war zone, though. It's extremely unfortunate what has happened, but our New Zealand soldiers acted appropriately with the information they had and the circumstances they were in.
But even though, I mean, so obviously that they didn't go there with the intention to kill civilians, are you admitting that this is a possibility that could have happened?
Shamina, it's a war zone. I wish there was no war, and I wish there were no war zones, and I wish there was no chance ever that civilians would end up as casualties. But I also know that our people were there to assist the Afghani people. Our people were there to help with reconstruction. But our people also need defending, and our people also need supporting. And in a situation like that, in a situation that neither of us, I think, have been in or would ever expect to be in, there were some tough, in-the-moment decisions that had to be made with the best information they had available. It turns out there were some civilian casualties. That is extremely unfortunate. But did our people act appropriately? Has it been investigated? The answer to those questions is yes, and we should therefore be supporting our New Zealand troops that put themselves in harm's way for our country.
But that's the thing, that's why the second investigation is necessary though, right? Because the initial investigation said that there were no civilian casualties, but now we're saying, well, actually, maybe this might have happened, it wasn't our intention, but it could have happened, it's a war zone. Like, is that not the reason why a second investigation needs to take place?
An investigation taken place by international forces, and we can't investigate other nations' actions either. That is done by the appropriate body, the ISAF investigation. That was done. Our forces were found to have acted appropriately, and we support them.
But the New Zealand was leading this raid, though. So even if, you know, another country was responsible for the deaths of these civilians, New Zealand was in charge of that raid.
Shamita, I don't have any more information than I've given you. What I know is that it was a war zone. What I know is that there was an investigation into the raid. What I know was that our people were acting on the best information that they had available. And what I know is that our forces were found to have acted appropriately, and we should be supporting them in that situation. I don't have any further information. I'm not the Minister of Defence. I'm not the Minister that's in charge of security. I have the same information available publicly that the rest of us do. And the information that is publicly available is that it has been investigated thoroughly by the appropriate groups, and our forces were found to have acted appropriately.
That was this week's Bits. To listen to the full interviews, visit 95bfm.com and check out the BCasts.